Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello there, Brian Gittins here. I'm doing that again. Hello, Brian Gittins here. Well, that's sad. I've just seen a blue cap on a bench in the middle of nowhere. I wonder whose that was. It's not that sad, is it? It's just a blue cap. Let's get on with it, Brian. Okay, so hello. Welcome to the introduction to the Brian Gittins and Friends podcast. Not a lot to say, really, so I'm going to whiz through it. Okay, enjoy the episode. No, it was just a little joke. So this Thursday, tomorrow night, that's how late I am, tomorrow night, June the 14th, tomorrow night, Thursday, at the Moth Club, Hackney, it's our game show Challenged with me, Charles Petrescu, in all his glory, Mark Silcox, as a security guard on the door, and David Edwards is coming down. David Edwards, I don't know what David will be doing, but he'll be jumping around and whatnot. So that's our challenge, the game show. And obviously you, the audience, get to be the contestants. So it's a wonderful, wonderful show. It's not a wonderful show, it's absolutely fine. But it's a good night, normally, I think. I don't know, unless people are taking the piss and patronising us. They seem to be enjoying it. And then my Edinburgh show, yeah, if you're coming out to Edinburgh, come along and watch. I'm not going to be doing Edinburgh again. So I'd love it if you came along and watched this time. Otherwise, it's going to be me in a Brazilian night. Yes, it is a Brazilian nightclub. A Brazilian nightclub twatting around on my own. I don't want to do that. And if you want to be a patron, if you want to pledge some money and support what we do and get some rewards, extra content, like videos. Bloody content. I hate I said content. Content. Sorry, pardon my French. But yeah, if you want to support the show, go to Patreon and you can pledge there and you get extra bits and pieces, like extra 20 minutes of the podcast with videos and backstage footage. And we put the episodes up way in advance normally. So if you fancy that, then come along. Much appreciated. And also, if you like the podcast, then If you listen to it on iTunes, leave a comment. Say, I like this podcast. I like it. Apparently, that's meant to be good for the podcast if you leave positive reviews. So if you do like it, leave a positive review. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell the butcher. Tell someone. For fuck's sake, tell someone. Tell someone. For fuck's sake, tell someone. I can't even get in the top 100 of the comedy podcasts. For fuck's sake, tell someone. Honestly, have a look at the top 100 comedy podcasts on iTunes. Most of it is toss. We can't even get in it. We're rarely in the top 100. How sad is that? And that's not our fault. That's your fault. Okay? I lay the blame entirely at your door. Okay, so thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode with James Acaster, and I'll see you on the next one. This is a really long intro, sorry, bye.
Hi, and welcome to the Brian Gittins and Friends podcast, and I think we're on episode 38, David.
Very near the big 4-0.
Very good. Getting closer. This is David Edwards to my right-hand side. How are you?
Very good. Looking forward to episode 38.
Yeah, you look all right.
Thank you. That's good to start with a compliment. That's right. Lovely to have. Hand it to me.
And what nickname should we give you this episode? The blonde? Blonde?
Banshee? Blonde? Wildebeest?
Yeah.
The blonde owl?
Why the blonde wildebeest? What does that mean?
Existing in the kind of the train of the forest, the outback, getting back to the rural settings.
What does that mean?
In the sense that, hikers beware. You know, there's an evil side
and
to me.
And our guest this month is James Acaster. James, you look like you're like, what the fuck's he going on about?
He said, hikers beware.
But what do you mean, hikers beware?
Well, a wildebeest, I imagine,
kill
at night time.
Hiker?
I think they would bring out that side of you. There's a taste of blood, I think, in the veins of a wildebeest, isn't there? Are they deadly?
Yeah, but what are you talking
about? I'm sure if they're attacking hikers. I've never really heard about hikers being attacked by wildebeest, but also I'm more concerned about what you're saying about yourself, David.
What are you saying?
I know that you think that we're picking you up. We're picking you up on your knowledge about wildebeest, but that's not our concern at all.
I don't even know what a wildebeest is. What is a wildebeest? Do you know what
is it like an animal on the plains of Africa? I think they're vegetarians.
There you go. I'm wrong there. So that's fair enough. They would be looking for hikers.
They get hunted a lot.
They're the victims.
They can stampede. They killed Simba's dad.
Yes, I know what a wildebeest is. I do know.
Did kill. Yeah, from Lion King.
The Lion King.
Yeah, indeed.
But what my concern was, I wasn't picking you up on your knowledge of wildebeests. It was more that you were describing yourself as hikers beware. And that's more what I was
personally getting at. Yeah, what did you mean by that?
I think it's a case that there could be a, like with most people, there's a dark side to me, perhaps. I need to explore and think about more.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's immediately about attacking travellers or people who are walking on foot through forests.
Normally, that's not most people's dark. That's using the term dark side very liberally, isn't it? You've been very generous there, saying that's
an illegal side, isn't it?
Yeah, it's psychopathic.
Yeah, I need to avoid that.
Really awful.
Find myself in a prison cell.
Yep, you
queuing up in the canteen.
Absolutely, if you kill anyone.
Well, guys, just let you know.
It's true, it's just a fact, isn't it?
Yeah. Keep talking, don't worry about it.
No, it's O'Brien,
No.
No, I'm just saying it's a fact. If you murder someone, you've got to do time. Would you?
Yep.
Simple as that.
I stand by that as well.
Yeah.
Everyone agree with that?
We all in agreement?
Yep, one of the Ten Commandments.
What was that, Charles?
If you get caught,
that
very
is.
True.
If you get
very
caught.
True.
There we go. I wish we were filming this. James just took his jumper off and we saw his little belly.
Hey, little sneak preview.
Yes. So, guys, in this episode, we're on a fishing boat. We're in a harbour and we're off to catch a great white.
Oh.
It's all right, isn't it? It's not bad.
No, it's perfect.
Are you not interested in that?
No, I like the idea of it. It sounds dangerous, but I'm happy to get involved.
Okay, so I kind of...
I just want to make sure, though, David knows. Great whites, they're not harmless. Look, I know what you thought about wildebeest.
They're dangerous.
Checking.
Right, okay. Am I right in thinking we're looking at about 8-9 feet sort of length for a great white?
25-30.
That is pretty... What sort of bait? You'd need almost like a puppy or a toddler at the end. That's too much.
Might be good
but a small living thing
right.
to actually get... Because they're going to be blood-hungry meat eaters.
Right, yeah.
They want more than a worm at the end of the hook.
So what would you like?
I think it would be like something like Jurassic
Davis.
Park or like a Warwick Davis or like a small goat or something like that.
Okay. A Jurassic Park, yeah, it's a small goat.
Yeah, a small goat.
Put like a life preserver on it.
Well,
a little
luckily enough,
along.
We've got some small goats.
There we go. Preparation is key.
But so we're going to sail out to the sea and
we trawl them in.
Yeah, we're all trawling, man. We got our wet weather gear on, and say goodbye to our wives and girlfriends and whatnot. And
au revoir,
off
women.
We go. We're brave men. Right, here's the first. How are you, James? Anyway, we haven't said hello, really.
Very well, thank you. Yeah.
Let's congratulate James. I keep banging on about your Netflix.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you banging.
I was very impressed.
You were, weren't you? You tried to. What did you try to stream it illegally? Was that?
No. There was. I'm just in between TVs at the moment, so I had to use other attempts, other avenues.
He filmed it on the night on his phone.
I did. I just legally, it's my copyright. I've got it now. I filmed it, and I just sort of sat in my bedroom and watched it, and I chuckled away. I loved it. big fam.
Chuckled is slightly patronising.
No, I don't mean chuckled. I mean heavy.
Put a lot of effort into it.
And you just sat there chuckling.
Guffaws. What's the word? Guffaws?
Yeah.
Honestly, great. Brilliantly put together.
Thanks, Matt.
And also, it's all. Sorry, don't interrupt.
I mean, put together, it was filmed on your phone, so that's really a compliment to yourself more than anyone else.
Like, yeah. In a way, I guess I was a cinematographer.
Very nicely filmed. Yeah.
In a sense. Yeah. But it's been reviewed on some big blogs.
Uh huh, yes.
IndieWire, which is a big
honestly,
American one.
I'll let you know, James. Dave is a comedy. You'd say a nerd, yes?
He knows everything
about your career.
You know everything.
So, yeah. So.
I've seen on blogs, IndieWire, which
David,
is a bit, yes?
You can't talk about comedy.
Fair enough. Full stop there, that's fair enough. There's rules to work in. There's a
Why
framework.
Why can't David talk about comedy?
Messing.
He's messing with you.
Alright.
Right, it's a little
joke. Cube was important at a podcast.
It was a little prank. It was a prank.
Bit of a prank. And I've got custard rolling off my face, as we speak. It happens. Some big blogs that have mentioned you very favourably with the show.
Lovely.
Put that out there.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. Good
indeed.
To know.
Yeah.
No, positive vibes on the internet.
So how's it been since it was...
Nice. Yeah. Just a lot of people discovering it. That's why I did it. Yeah. Get people
that's
watching.
Why we do all this shit.
Yeah. It's very nice to have it.
We don't get a great response to this, do we?
We're not quite Netflix realm.
No.
What's it like having a meeting with Netflix? That must be interesting.
It's
you get one question.
Sorry. Yeah. So quite right. Yeah.
No, it's nice. It's one of the more laid back meetings I've had.
Was it in America or?
It was in America.
Wow. Yeah. A bit of fun off the States. Everyone's got an American accent sipping mineral water.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Lovely.
Right, David, here's your first question.
Haven't got American accents over there.
Who's driving the boat, by the way?
I'm driving the boat.
Well, that's good.
So, that's Thanks. Great. No trouble. So, my first question for you, David, of this episode. When you're old, what do you think children will ask you to tell stories about?
Goodness me, what situations I've experienced? Well, the thing is, that's why a lot of people, we haven't got a war. None of us were in trenches, none of us flew Spitfires. And so you have no sort of like Lord of the Rings tale of existing in some kind of battle or being near death. And it does worry me at times that there would be nothing really exciting than the first YouTube video uploaded or...
Really? Is that what you'd...
Well, I don't know if it'd be that bad, but I think it's a case of...
So what do you think you'll be talking to them about?
Maybe I was here for the birth of the internet, you know, the early podcasts. I'd say, in my day, we used to just stand around, you know, with these sticks in front of us and this furry thing called a microphone. Uh-huh. And we'd talk into it type of thing.
What do you think they'll be doing in the future if there's no microphones?
I think it would be a case of plugs in the neck or some kind of USB beneath the ear. Uh-huh, I think metal and human will augment in some way.
Yeah.
We'll be a living smartphone with legs.
Right. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, guys.
It's a prediction.
Right.
I think they'd be in a different realm. They wouldn't be interested in me.
So is that what your children, grandchildren were going to look like?
What sort of like cyborg sort of kids?
Walking iPhones? Kind of.
I think so. I think it would be a case that, you know, if you want to run fast.
Sat on your lap.
All sat on my lap, all vibrating when their batteries are.
All plugged in.
Charged all in, plugged all plugged in and put into bed.
Yeah,
so. The next day.
And you think you're going to be talking about the birth of the internet, yeah?
And I'll be talking about, you know, I had one of you in my hand, in my palm of my hand. It was called a phone, but now you've evolved into one. I can't really enter into conversation with them. They're,
it's a very scary thing to tell them.
It is. Yeah. It's very frightening.
Yeah.
But as a parent, you're there also to give the tablet of truth, aren't you? The medicine.
What, grandparent?
Yeah, grandparent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd have had to have had children before then, like the whole lineage.
What would the children be like? If the grandchildren are little smartphone humanoids, what are the children like?
It'd be more like The Matrix, just the one plug in the back of the neck type of thing. There wouldn't be like USB ports and a whole... I mean, just the idea of... Yeah, I mean, I think that will be the future in some vein, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, we're all having a bit of a laugh, but yeah.
Each generation will be an upgrade from the one before.
There'll be some kind of, totally right, like an Apple presentation type of thing.
Yeah.
It is worrying, and we'll enter into a virtual realm, which we'll get lost in. We could be in one now without knowing it.
What was the first ever YouTube video, Daddy?
What was the first ever YouTube video, Daddy?
I think it was something to do with an animal,
was
wasn't it?
That was his grandchild. We sort of...
Oh, okay.
Pushed into the future.
Yes.
So we got your lovely little grandchild on
it's
your
on my
knee.
Lap.
Can we hear that again, Lucy?
What was the first ever YouTube video, Daddy? I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Daddy.
Oh, I love you back. The family, they're quite strong.
That's how you talk to your children. I love you back.
Full eye contact.
Liar.
You know,
I love you back.
Love you back.
Liar.
Liar.
Can you hear her?
Yes, she's got a lie detector app built into her, I think, or something. You can see my pulse changing as I say the words. No, honestly, you know, technology is lying. Your father loves you. Got a lot of time for you.
Okay. James, did I ask you to bring three questions in for David?
Yeah.
I did. You got wonderful. Three questions on you.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. So, excellent. James, what's your first question for David on this podcast?
Yeah, my question is, what is the best meal you've ever had?
Ah.
The best meal, I love buffets. I'm a massive fan of those. I put myself into some really serious situations.
I love buffets.
But yeah. Just the idea that you can just eat as much as you like,
yeah.
It
yeah.
really is plate, fork, and a lot of bravery.
Lots of beige food.
Lots of beige food.
Yes.
You like your beige food?
I do like beige food. Yeah. Right.
Can you remember the best buffet you've ever had?
The best buffet I ever had was at a Chinese restaurant in Bognor. I can't remember. It was flaming something. I can't remember the rest of it. And I'm not even that educated
make
in the world
up,
of
make
Chinese.
The, make the Chinese restaurant name up.
Flaming geese. Okay.
Well, definitely wasn't called that.
Flaming
yeah.
Trojan, something like that.
Flaming
samurai.
Geese.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Not flaming samurai.
No, that's too much. Yeah. That's inappropriate.
Flaming geese.
You're quite
yeah.
right.
I'm going to look
geese.
It up. Flaming yeah.
Trojan. And, I mean, I, you know, so every everything I ate was like a surprise, an explosion in my mouth, because I'm not very... I don't know if that was a spring roll or it was a, you know, a meatball. I didn't know what to think. And it was just a great experience.
But can you remember what they actually were? What how much did you have to eat, first of all?
Oh,
loads.
I was in a very nice vinoed state of, like, a few, you know, white wines.
Yeah.
And I just kind of luxuriously grazed on this mountain of food. There was noodles there.
Yeah.
There was a pastry with kind of, like, vegetables inside.
Yeah. Who were you with? Why were you there?
I was actually on my own. Which, as I say now, sounds a bit sad.
No, it doesn't.
No,
but,
absolutely
fine.
My friend had a train delayed.
Yeah.
And we're going
to
go.
That old chestnut.
That old chestnut once again.
Yeah.
And then later on, we went to the cinema, but we were in very different mindsets.
Moods. You were sort of high on MSG, is it MSG?
I think I'd gone off my high, and I was in quite a low point at that point.
Digestive.
Yeah, definitely. Very.
What was that, Charles?
Stuffed and sleepy.
Stuffed and sleepy.
And he was frantic and wired after being on public transport.
Right. Yes.
And he was hungry, and I was like, oh no, you know, I've done my eating for this day type of thing.
Yeah.
So we weren't on the same frequency
whatsoever.
The rest is
history.
The rest is history.
Like anything, isn't it? This will be history at some point.
Well, yeah.
Now.
Yeah, it is. Like, yeah, it's worrying, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's the flaming geese in Chichester.
Bognor.
In Bognor. Sorry, I looked up.
Wonderful buffet.
Right. The Golden Grill.
It could be that. That does ring a bell.
Or Flaming.
Flaming. That's
Flaming.
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 Possible.
Right.
Because that links sort of to what I said originally. It's near the Picture House Cinema.
What did you see at the cinema?
Lord of the Rings. Return of the Three Kings.
Beautiful.
It really was. Too long for me, though. I got a bit of a headache from it. I think a bit of a sugar rush. I don't know why.
Well, not from the film. It'd be from the...
Oh, yeah, from the food.
Don't
I poisoned myself.
Don't
Sorry,
shout.
Keep it low.
You liked a long meal, but not a long film.
Quite. Or, you know, a very slim... meal alongside a long film, you know. So
the
you,
Lord
you know,
of the Buffet watching the Lord of the Rings.
Yes, mix the two.
Yeah,
buffet and Lord of the Rings together.
Do you call yourself Lord of the Buffet?
Yeah. In the midst of it, yes.
Yes.
But then once you're defeated, it's just horrific. Many a time I had to lay out in the back of someone's car, you know, family member's car or something, because of I've gone just AWOL in Pizza Hut type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone so badly into the starters that there hasn't really been any room for the pizza.
Sure.
But you think you're in Pizza Hut, you've got to eat pizza.
Yeah.
And you've got a massive, like, whole wall of nachos inside you.
Yes.
And then you're trying to put dough on top. And I've been into some really quite nasty situations with that.
Have
Even
you?
To the extent I've given myself a headache.
Right, yeah.
And the chemicals.
Yeah.
But what can you do? You know,
I think your insides are absolutely fucked.
Possible, yeah, it's a possibility.
Because your stomach always sort of comes up into conversation, doesn't it?
It does, in some bizarre vein.
Yeah.
Are you fans of buffets? I don't want to be left alone.
No, absolutely. No,
not really.
Oh, you don't like them?
I really love food. I'm a big foodie. But
oh, really? What do you enjoy?
I really like Mexican food, like tacos.
Oh, that is nice.
A lot of tacos.
Yeah.
It's good to try and find some good taco places in London, because there wasn't for a while, but they're popping up now. That's
they
good.
Are very nice. Do you ever do any homemade tacos where you play around with the microwave?
This is a lovely conversation.
Yeah, so I've taken things off.
No, it's lovely.
I did some homemade. Yeah, I did some homemade like sashimi kind of tacos.
Oh, what's sashimi?
Like raw fish, like with tuna.
Oh right. My gosh.
And did like that with some lemon juice and some sriracha on it.
You would never do anything like that, would you? Do you cook at home?
No. I miss that. I don't know if I don't know what I was doing when everyone else was learning to cook. I don't quite know. I was distracted by other things for some reason. So
yeah,
I'd love to learn. I really would. You know, I do watch cooking on TV sometimes, Nigella Lawson, things like that.
Yeah.
But it's almost like I haven't got the basics or the foundation to understand. You know, how do you make bread? And you know, how do you kind of? I don't know. I need to learn the foundation.
Are you?
No, it bores me. I think.
Yeah.
It's quite hard making bread, though. But making a taco, just you chuck stuff in a taco shell.
I think yes, it is. That is quite basic, isn't it?
It's as simple as that. Isn't it?
I think it's something I could get into.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think you could do it.
Yeah.
And a whole mixture.
I don't think you will get into it though, because I think you're all talk.
I think, well, the thing is, you can go to Tesco's and you can buy the ingredients for a taco, can't you?
Yeah.
So it's all there. So you're still preparing it and you could add elements to it, but most of the hard work done for you.
Old El Paso, is that what you're thinking about?
Possibly, yes.
Yes.
The brand does ring a bell type of thing. Do you warrant that? Is that a good one to go for as brands go?
A bit late. Maybe get the taco shells, yeah. But, like, don't like, cheat and do the mix and just... Find the ingredients yourself for
I like
the inside.
Tuna. I've got some cans of tuna knocking about.
Not like that kind of tuna.
Right. Okay. Yes. No. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah. Not tinned tuna.
No.
I don't think that'd be nice.
Tinned tuna. I'm sort of envisioning it now in my head. It
that
be
might
ideal.
Be good bait for the great white.
It would be. Yes.
Actually, guys, I don't know if you can see over there. It's the fin has just. Cut through the surface of the water
and
it's heading towards us, and obviously
hot
the editor's
knife.
Got to lay over a bit of John Williams
music. Oh, wonderful,
exactly.
Yes. That would be good,
exactly.
Yeah.
So here she comes, she's approaching now. What do you see, David? What do you see?
I see a large blue triangle hovering across the bed of the ocean, and we all know that's
bed.
A shark. The bed of the ocean, is that the bottom of the ocean? No, not the bed, sorry, the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
Cutting through it like a hot knife through butter. He means business.
The sheet. Yeah.
So sorry?
The sheet.
The bed sheet. Quite right, well said. Through the duvet, he's cutting right through it.
Yeah so there she goes past the... That's what we're dealing with, guys. So I've got a question from you from a listener, David. And this question is, tell us the meanest thing you've ever done.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The meanest thing
I... It's hard to imagine David doing anything mean, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, he's talking about sort of slaughtering hikers.
Oh, yeah.
In the
that's
first
true.
Minute.
Mean.
Yeah.
But that only exists in my head, not in the physical reality. I've never slaughtered a man.
What's the meanest thing you thought?
The meanest thing I've thought?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be some form of
wasn't it pushing someone in front of a train?
Blimey. I'm sure I have considered that, you know, because their headphones have got music blaring out of them or something annoying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just think it'd just take one jolt and they'd be on the tracks, type of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't follow through with those,
no.
You know, because I'm a civilised individual.
Good
I believe
you,
in society.
Dude.
We've all got to live together.
So what's the meanest thing you've done?
I think probably it's when people have fallen over, they've hurt themselves, and I've quite loudly laughed, type of thing.
That's
and
it. That's the meanest thing you've ever done in your life.
Well, anything meaner than that, you'd be ostracised, wouldn't you? I'm trying to think.
Old people.
No, it was a woman in some white stilettos, and she grazed her knees quite badly. She was off to a club, I think.
And what noise did you make when you saw her?
It was like a celebratory noise.
Where were you when this happened?
Chichester train station.
And you laughed at her?
Yes, and then I don't know, I just thought that was my natural reaction. And the whole platform was really unimpressed. So I was very much pushed aside. And
oh, people were very...
Yeah, I tried to help her out. Up, she wasn't interested.
No, of course she wasn't. You tried to make up for it after going up to her and touching her.
I sort of turned into a clown, but
yeah.
No one else was enjoying it.
She knew you were the laugher.
Yes,
yeah,
it definitely came from
then,
my mouth.
And then you went over and went, would you say, oh, I'm sorry for laughing, could I help you?
Oh, I hope she didn't notice, but she obviously did.
Oh, so you tried to style it out.
And also, yeah, sort of like early 20s, I've got my hand on her wrist and her arm. It was too much, you know.
Yeah.
Too much contact there. I was like, oh, sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got really awkward. It was awful, yeah.
Did it really? You'd be serious?
No, it did. Do you know what I mean? I shouldn't have laughed, but that was my reaction. I suddenly thought we'd all turn into jackals, we'd all laugh together.
Yeah.
I seem to be kind of like ostracised.
Well, it sounds like you said she grazed her knees.
I know. Yeah, she did graze her knees.
I've seen people fall over before and it's been funny, but you're saying that a young woman fell over and grazed her knees.
But these stilettos were very high up. Afterwards, I thought, well
she deserved it.
Yeah.
That did go through my head.
Well, like, that's because you don't like women.
Well, that hasn't been officially. No. There's some evidence. But I think I'm far more, in the future, a lot more liberal, a lot more open-minded.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
what would you say to her now if you met her now?
What would you say to her now? Yeah.
I would say I'd happily hobble you over to Boots and buy some TCP. I'd happily, you know, medicate your knees or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
What?
I feel like just something. Or I'd help you to a taxi.
If you met her now.
Oh, right now.
Yeah,
oh, right,
yeah.
The wounds have gone.
Not apologise for laughing.
I would definitely apologise. Do you remember me? I laughed at you about 4 years ago on just a train station. You're off to a nightclub, Sheiks, I think. I can't remember what they're called.
You knew where she was going?
I did. So I don't know where that information's come from. It's there. And did it ruin your evening? Were you still able to enjoy yourself?
Yeah.
Followed her.
Was she on her own when she fell?
I thought she was with friends, but they didn't go up to help her up.
Right.
Because I kind of held her, one of her arms, and looked to the friends as to say, do you want to help me? And they just sort of turned their back type of thing. And then I just sort of put the hand...
You did this after laughing at her.
Yeah, well, I thought I should do something.
And then you lifted her arm up and looked at her friends.
Yes.
And they turned their back and then you put her arm back down.
I did. So I did put it down. Because I thought it was just too much physical contact there.
Right.
Yeah.
Inappropriate. There's CCTV cameras. Well, it doesn't matter if there are cameras or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you said it now, though.
You've
let us know that was your main deterrent.
Morals are what kept me from having any more physical contact.
Yeah. Right.
I don't need to be surveillance. Got my own surveillance camera in my head.
So that was the meanest thing you've ever done?
Yeah, I think the repercussion, I think people's reactions to it was that of disgust, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, that's...
What's the second meanest thing you've ever done?
The second meanest thing I've ever done...
Go. Now, go.
Oh, God, I think it would be a case of if my parents have let me down in some vein. And it's me being very brattish or selfish. I can't imagine what.
Yeah.
But sending them all to Coventry. And just not... I look back on that and think that's bad. Even though their friends are in the actual car with us or something.
Yeah.
But I just like almost get a social grenade and just chuck it in the car. And it's just self-sabotage.
Okay, so I'm your dad and I said, no, you're not going out tonight. You've got to stay in and do your homework. What would you have said to that?
Right, fair enough. And it would just be, then it'd be a case of there'll be the next day or the day after that, and then he'll try and enter into conversation with me, and it'd just be a wall. Nothing would come up. Nothing would be said. Just say nothing
treatment.
At all. This obviously isn't now. I'm 40. You know, I'd enter into conversation with him now, but I'd hit a mute button, and he'd be like, "This is Gladys. Do you remember Gladys from next door, Dave? Look at Gladys." And then just sort of shake my head and just go back to Neighbours or whatever I was watching in the 90s, Biker Grove, whatever.
Right.
Maybe that's very rude.
You're taking it out on their friends and stuff.
Oh, yes. I'd wait until there's a social situation.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, if it wasn't a social situation, they'd probably be happy not to, you know, interact type of thing.
What, with you?
Yeah, sometimes, because you're always there, aren't you? Yeah, I guess so, to a certain degree.
Oh, good, he's giving us a silent treatment again.
I know, so we'll enjoy this.
Yeah.
But then I'd wait until it was a more social environment.
Right.
Gladys and Aunt, something like that. Yeah. And then it would be a case I purposely just create sort of uncomfortable silences.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And I just think that was, well, that's nasty, inappropriate, and, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't good for me when I would see her later on the streets.
Sure. Yeah. And there'd be like, there's that rude kid.
Yeah. This dysfunctional Edwards, there he is, hobbling along.
Yeah. Hobbling along.
Hobbling in a way, do you know what I mean? Kind of.
Up to the TCP shop.
Yeah, quite right,
like,
yeah.
So now, if your parents upset you, what do you do?
I'll air my unimpressedness or whatever the word is of saying, you know,
word.
Hey, full stop. Something's happened here. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
It's more of an American therapy group. They're not really that interested.
Yeah.
But I would try and vocalise it straight away. You know, I usually park my Metro there. What's that doing there?
Yeah.
Where's your dad's caravan? Well, doesn't he put his caravan outside the farmer's house down the road? Well, he can't because he's having it, you know, re-engineered or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll sort of swallow it after, but there'd be more of a conversation.
But back in the day,
I could be sitting on it for days.
That would mean, because he parked his caravan where your Metro would usually be, when you're introduced to Gladys, She's not getting anything.
No, no eye contact whatsoever. No. Just watching the TV, turning the volume up.
Yeah.
And just being antisocial.
Yeah.
Almost slight autism, you know, just like blocking things
not
off.
Almost.
That's a bit un-PC me using it as a reference point.
It's not. No. It's on the nose autism, and I don't think you're misusing it in any way, shape or form.
Finger on the end of the nose. There you go. It's on the tip. Yeah. It's happening.
Okay. Well, it's fine.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
But that autistic streak's gone, and I very much interact with people.
Everyone loves you. You're such a positive guy.
Yeah.
That's very good to
hear. It's always surprising that very positive inside you've got a...
Well, I think the positivity's there, just trying to avoid those dark kind of moments.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. James, you got a second question for David?
Yes. Outside of the podcast, who is your best friend in the world?
Best friend in the world... It's got to be, as a chap, Ryan O'Sullivan. I knew him at college, and we just bloody bonded.
Do you know
two men just come together? Sorry, carry on.
Are you still friends with him now?
I'm very much still friends with him now.
Are you?
He was the man that I went to see Lord of the Rings with when I ate too much food at the buffet.
Yeah.
And we got over that because I really wasn't in tune with him at that
I've
point.
I've never heard of Ryan O'Sullivan.
I'm sure if there's previous podcasts I've referenced him at some point.
I've definitely not heard that name.
But for some reason, we just kind of...
Have you made videos with him?
I have made videos of him.
Has he got long hair?
He hasn't got long hair. He did have long hair at one point. He is small, and at one point he did have long hair, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Nice quiff to the side. He pulled it off, you know.
You met him at college?
I met him at college and we just clicked.
What were you studying?
I was studying media studies, BTEC, out there with video cameras, filming society, and take it back, edit it, and show it to the teacher. And then, we just sort of, you know.
And Ryan O'Sullivan was on the same course?
He was on the same course, absolutely. Used to sit next to him regularly in
class. Does he listen to the podcast?
I think he does every now and then. He's quite a busy chap now.
Every now and then.
He's got a family.
Has he?
Yeah, he has.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Shout out to Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. How's it going? Podcast high five.
This is an opportunity for you to send a message to Ryan, how much he means to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we have a little bed under this, please, editor? A really nice, lovely bed. Here we go.
I think, you know, when two men come together with similar values, beliefs, outlooks, hopes and dreams...
Be serious.
No, I am. I'm being serious.
Yeah, no.
And I feel there's a connection there, a bond.
I'm being serious.
No, you are being... No, genuinely, because I thought...
It's not a joke. No, it's not a joke. It's just like you have a discussion. It could be about
to
football,
do a serious,
whatever.
Do
okay,
a,
and you afterwards, when you wave goodbye to them...
To do a serious one.
Okay.
Genuinely.
Genuinely, you think, that guy's got me.
Yeah.
He knows what I'm about.
Right, so genuinely.
That's a genuine...
Send the message to him now.
Oh, I see. Ryan, I don't know if you're at home now or in a car listening to a podcast or walking your dog with the podcast earphones on. This is Dave Edwards talking to you via cyberspace.
Please be serious, because I feel like you're putting on a character.
No, okay, I'll be completely... I'm totally... Ryan, this is David talking to you now. Thanks for the good times. Thanks for the good times.
Is he okay?
No, he's doing well.
No, I don't... Come on.
Thanks for the good times.
Thanks for the good times.
Tell me how much he means to you.
Too much of life, you feel disconnected, like you're just floating upon a sea... of nothingness, but when you're around, you're like a harbour and I'm the ship docking.
No, this is all...
I'm trying to think.
It's all trying too hard. Just say hello, mate. I just want to say...
All right, mate, it's Dave here. you're good company. It's quite therapeutic to chat to you every now and then.
That's better.
That's just it, isn't it? Yeah. You know, don't try and decorate it, just so it is.
Yeah, it's a nice moment.
Do you have any best friends?
Do you resent his wife and children?
Not at all. I think it creates a nice balance, a nice decor.
Yeah.
It's the circle of life. Yeah. It adds some variety to things.
David, the Great White's coming. So if you want to go walk your way to the end of the boat with the old harpoon.
Here we go.
Can shoot it and then attach.
I'm shaking a bit. Here we go.
Attach those yellow barrels to it.
Just like the film.
Riding on his back.
Exactly like that.
Okay, here we go. There's the fin. It's going in and out. Pull the trigger. Here we go. I think I've got it.
Wow, something. Well done, David. You got it. It's right
first
in the
time.
Back.
He's got wonderful. It, first time.
And another one. Get another barrel.
Here we go. Second time lucky. Let's have a pull the trigger.
Wow. Oh. Super stuff,
on its
David.
Flipper.
Well done, David.
Thank you. Thanks for the compliment.
It's very dramatic, that scene.
It's attracted lots more sharks, annoyingly.
Oh,
it's
God, we're surrounded
loads
by them now.
More sharks. Who do you go out of your way to be nice to?
I think, I'll tell you right now, life is a very much a slippery pole, but also it can be a ladder, and people can climb up it very quickly. Mm. So with that in mind, be nice to everyone, because you don't know. I've had many of people below me.
Huh?
Ryan.
Ryan goes about saying I'm nice to him. Do you know what I mean? Because he gets me type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But many a time I've had people below me. It could be in working in Blockbuster Video or other industries I've entered, and they're very quickly promoted. And if you've been snooty around them, you know, you're in their black book type of thing. So I think, you know, man, child, woman, animal, whatever surrounds you, you know, best foot forward. Unless they strike at you first.
In case they get promoted and you need to use them in some way.
Or just, you know, be, you know, have some kind of like corporate shelter or something. You don't want to be in their target type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, life's a ladder.
Yeah.
It's like Donkey Kong or Pac-Man or something like that.
Yeah.
And people can climb very quickly and leave you behind. I've got a question for James. Shall I?
Yes, please.
So wear the suit. It's not for me to...
It's a golden question section, James. Dave's got a chance to ask the guest one question.
Oh.
I mean, you did ask about Netflix earlier, so...
Oh, that's true.
That is your 40.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
So here's the golden question section. Here we go. Here's one question.
What I'd say is, are you a man who lives in the realms of nostalgia? Do you pine for your past, or are you very much future projection?
I'm a nostalgic, very nostalgic.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm quite nostalgic, yes.
I'm kind of incapable of walking past somewhere that I've got a connection to without telling someone that I'm with. Whoever it is I'm walking with, I have to tell them, you know, that my memory attached to that place.
Right.
Get made fun of sometimes for that, because it's all turns into the James Acaster nostalgia tour wherever I'm walking around.
Oh, right.
I'd love to go on that tour.
Really, I would.
Yeah. Really idealise the past. Really look at the past and convince myself it was much better than things are now.
This very moment is feeling good.
Well, it's all right, but then I look back and I go, I was, you know.
What age do you pine for when it was just like, oh, that's when
best
it was
year of my
great.
Life?
Yes.
1999.
Wow. Ooh.
14 years old.
Britpop was still big.
I saw an eclipse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Manchester United won the treble, which.
Wonderful.
Yeah, did you support Man United?
I did at the time.
So did I.
So I was, it was.
Do you know what happened
feeling.
To me? Everything became pointless after that.
Yep, everything did.
Yeah.
Football did.
Yeah.
I stopped liking football.
So did I.
As soon as after they won that, yeah.
Because did you I dropped it completely?
Well, I was expecting something to happen. And
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I realised I like stories more than I like sports. So, like, that season was a great story.
Yeah.
And then right, that's interesting, isn't that?
The next one was like just a follow-up film.
Tabloid
sequel.
Myth.
Do you like it now? Do you like football now?
Not really. I like watching the World Cup.
It.
And then you got more into stories.
Yeah, so I like. Yeah, I much prefer stories, films, and you know, comedy shows, stuff like that.
And what did you enjoy watching in 1999 or 2000?
How many questions?
Sorry, yes, quite right. I'm going overboard here.
Can you imagine achieving your goals at the age of like 20, 21, 25? Everything you wanted to do, done.
Blimey.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
some
yeah.
people do that, don't they?
Yeah,
some people. Matt Damon's that thing like what he said when he won the Oscar for writing Good Will Hunting. He was young. He was like, you know, early 20s, wasn't he?
Was he?
Or mid 20s, something like that.
Oh,
and he said, you know, won the Oscar, stayed out partying all night with his friends, went home with his girlfriend at the time. He went into the bathroom to go for a slash or something and put the Oscar on the shelf. He said he just looked, and it was the first time he was alone with it, and looked at it and realised it meant nothing.
Oh my God,
I'd like to read this interview. It sounds very...
Have you heard the song This Is It?
This is it. No, I don't know.
This Simon knows.
Oh, it is.
No,
that
not that song.
Oh, right,
no, not that one. But it's about that moment when you realise,
been chasing an illusion.
And nothing matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he says he was glad he'd learnt that early on.
Oh.
He says that he can, because he's had a nicer career since, he's enjoyed
it
more.
He really has, isn't he?
Whereas he says that he would hate to have been someone who, like, chasing stuff like an Oscar for years,
yeah,
and then you get it and you realise, oh, what, I've wasted my career.
Oh,
wasted an existence.
Yeah.
Would you like an Oscar, David?
Oh, I bloody love one.
Why?
Go up on a big
Why?
Stage,
Why?
Talk into the podium microphone.
Why?
Well,
do you know,
an
I went
out.
To the National Television Awards.
Did you?
Yeah, one of the great awards ceremonies.
Wow.
And I stayed around for about half an hour afterwards and just saw it all get taken down.
Yeah. Oh. That is exactly the kind of thing I'd expect you to do at the awards. Is stick around afterwards just to watch it all come down so you can really bathe in hell.
It was horrible. Oh, I went to see Bruce Forsyth at the Palladium.
Oh, yes.
And he came on. It was like this light entertainment. He did all that. And they made the floor all black. And you see all the fucking gaffer tape. And it was all ripped up in the corner. And we didn't give him the response that he wanted. So, can you do it all again? So he had to go off. And it was
My gosh.
I mean,
you would have loved... I've played at the Palladium once, and you would have absolutely loved watching me at the Palladium because I died so badly and in such an awkward way.
Well, what were you doing at the Palladium?
Right up your street. So it was literally like Saturday night at the Palladium or whatever. It was like a...
Was it televised?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Like but it was quite a ITV Tea Time variety show.
Yeah.
That...
Jason Manford?
No, it was Bradley Walsh hosting it.
Of course it was.
I had no business being on there.
Yeah.
My agent at the time advised me not to do it. Said it's not very well suited to you. I was like, it's fine. I'm doing stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do stand-up on any show. Last year.
Gosh.
And I'd been out the night before, and I was really hungover.
Yeah.
And I had to follow them interviewing an old lady. There was an old lady sat in one of the boxes. She was like in her 90s. And she'd given most of her life, like most of her earnings, her whole life to charity. She was famous for it, how much she'd given for charity. And they were interviewing her, and she was just saying, you know, you've got to just give what you can. And everyone's like clapping and crying.
Gosh.
But also quite a Brexit-y audience.
Yeah.
You know, so like they really like the salt of the earth.
Solution
of
flag.
And they're happy to cry about that. But so this is really weird. And then they said, we could give you a chance to win some money now. And they were asking her questions, and the audience got to try and help her with the answers. And then she won 10 grand, and they gave her this huge check. And then they said, what are you going to do with money? And she was like, I'm going to donate it to... And then everyone's crying and clapping again. And then they brought me on.
And you strutted on.
And I went on, and I was played to nothing.
Was it silence?
It was near silence.
When it was
like,
on TV, did they get rid of the silence, though? Did they put candle
I don't know. I didn't watch it, but they probably did. They probably... really amped up the five people who were laughing, or they put other people's laughs in. I'm not sure what they did in the end, but at one point, her name was June, I think, and then at one point it was going so badly, I looked up at the box at her and I went, cheers, June, like that, thinking it would be funny.
Yeah.
And definitely, like you laughing at the lady who fell over.
Yeah.
Everyone else looked at me and were like,
why has he done that?
Why are you having a go at June?
Outsider.
She's a nice person.
And how did people deal with you when you came off stage?
Came off and everyone was like,
all right, James.
Everyone just kind of thought it was funny that it had gone so bad. I remember the crew and stuff before I went on, when they were interviewing June, they all knew it was going to go badly for me. The producers did and stuff.
Yeah.
So they were all just like, producers were making these jokes that were really inappropriate about June. And I didn't like that.
I remember, you didn't like that?
No, I said to them, guys, I'm about to go on stage.
Yeah.
Can you not make those kind of jokes?
Yeah.
Goodness me, it sounds like a real... Do you, psychologically, when you drove off or you got onto the train, do you think to yourself, how am I going to survive in this business? This is just... I'm surrounded by sharks.
Luckily...
Literally.
Yeah, we're quite... Yeah,
luckily, by that point, I don't had enough bad experiences to know I'd be okay.
Right,
I was definitely coming off going, what am I...
Yeah.
What am I doing? Also, I had... very ill-advised... decided just to do new material.
Oh my gosh!
Because I was bored of my old stuff, so I thought, I'm just going to do some new stuff. And then it was this audience who wouldn't have liked my old stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, it went really bad.
Yeah.
And I knew that when it went out, no matter what they did, because even when they do tickle it up and plug in laughs, if you had a bad one, people can tell at home. You can't actually trick people. That's why I'm a big fan of, with the Netflix specials, I didn't turn up any laughs, didn't plug any in.
No, you can definitely
you just go,
tell it's real.
Yeah, you can tell that, right?
No, it's got a raw feeling in the room, though. I mean, in a positive way, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's because it's on your phone, you're not really getting it.
This is true, yeah, you're quite right. Quite a small screen, just the one speaker.
A lot of people have tweeted me saying about the subtitles and saying, like, most of the time when people laugh in the room, it just says scattered laughter as the subtitles. That's the main thing. But yeah, you can't trick them at home. They know when it's gone badly.
Is it on YouTube, Jen?
I don't know if it is. I haven't dared search it. I don't dare look at it. But if it is on YouTube...
You will, won't you? You'll have a look.
I have looked at yourself
on
YouTube.
Fair,
I've never seen that.
It's on YouTube. You've probably already seen it, haven't you?
You've seen it.
I've not seen that one. That doesn't ring a bell at
all. Yeah.
It was Palladium. No, I didn't have that one.
Guys.
Yeah.
But Wahid,
There is a hole in the boat.
There's a hole in the boat, which means we've got to end the podcast. How annoying.
And the sharks beneath us.
We could do a quick fire round of questions.
Do a quick fire round of questions before
everyone just go for it.
Okay, we've got a quick fire round of questions before the boat sinks. Maybe we can have a bit more Jaws music playing underneath this editor. That would be nice.
Yes.
So, quick fire round of questions.
David, do you think you're going to get into heaven?
Probably purgatory. I think heaven is too optimistic because God can read your mind.
Have you looked at your own arsehole?
I have.
It wasn't many of you to ask him that. Have you ever had a beard?
I need to try again because, I don't know, facial hair has never been a key talent for me because of my blonde complexion. But if I think I gave it a go now, 4-0...
If you were in a band, what would the band be called?
The Blonde Bombshells, I think.
Sing your hit single right now without thinking about it.
Ooh, look around, it's Blonde Bombshell.
How did you look at your own always?
Using a mirror.
How did you look at your own arsehole?
Using a mirror, basically. Just brought out the cheeks and use the technology of a reflection.
What's your wrestler name?
Bazooka. So that's just the top of my head.
Shoe size
13/14, depending.
Wow. What would you shout before you jump on someone as Bazooka?
As Bazooka.
You're about to jump from the top rope. Shout at them now.
Yeah, like some kind of like
a catchphrase.
Yeah, a catchphrase.
The water is coming in. NHS.
The water's rising. We've got three more questions to ask.
Oh no. who would you want to move in with? Tom Hanks or Mark Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg's got more money, but Hanks has got a lot more charisma. I'd love to sit there like sharing muesli with Hanks.
Quick!
We're gonna
get eaten by the sharks. In the past, people were buried with the items they would need in the afterlife. What would you want to be buried with so you could use it in the afterlife?
Purely just a robe to cover my dignity, and the rest would just be a great personality and get on with people, I think. And that's just stalked in my own mind.
What would you have on your headstone?
My headstone would be something like, you know, thanks for the good times.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or maybe just an angel, like a statue of an angel.
It's Charles' like question to end the podcast.
Here is my question.
Here we go.
Do you like sharks?
Do you like sharks?
I don't like sharks who are alive and ready to kill me.
Yeah,
no.
You're going to get attacked, David.
Oh, here we go.
Here
this
we
isn't
go.
The best
Always
way to end it. Thank good.
James, thank you so much for coming along.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. Greatly appreciate it.
David, obviously, it's been a joy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. And I didn't really focus on...
Thank you, James.
Thank you so much, James.
Oh,
James is drowning.
Been dragged out.
James, we've got an editor. We can do all that.
Still impressive. Finally sound at the ready.
Can you do that, David, without the water?
Oh,
no,
I can't, unfortunately.
Thank you so much, everybody, liquid. And see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a Mr. Box production.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.